Today is April 25th, 2013, and we're going to continue in the midst of refraining from eating chametz. We had discussed last time that Chazal compare, we were on page 20 of the source sheets, Chazal compare se'er and chametz, the leavening agent and chametz itself, to the Yetzer Hara. And we mentioned from several places, several sources to reflect that. And we quoted a statement from Rabbi Rucham Lavovitz, the great mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, who said that basically the Yetzer Hara is a bully. Aside from the fact that he's, as we mentioned, La Pesach Chatas Reivetz, that he crouches waiting for an opportunity to jump in, he's not, he doesn't overpower people with wise and intellectually sound arguments. Rather, he pounces on you and beats the daylights out of you. Except that the Torah tells us that really the man has the ability to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes with external help from the Rebbeinu Shalom, Ilmol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezrei, LaYocholai, if not for the fact that Hashem helps him, he wouldn't be able to overcome him. That means to say he's a mean bully. And Hashem does help us out. But it's not because he has wise, he has rationale to his thinking, etc. 99% of the time we can figure it out ourselves. It's not a very difficult decision.
That one is an external, the two malchus is an external constraint that takes us away from the derech, but the other one is an internal one. The yetzer is an internal one.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So we're being bombarded from all sides. Although the yetzer hara could transform into a physical one, just not on the script here. But you know, okay, I'll save that for a moment. Yes.
Question, I've been thinking about this a long time, been thinking, but is the Yetzer Hara, I mean, what we know about the Satan and the Malachim, but is the Yetzer Hara actually something that's there, or is it an inclination? Is it something that I have a tendency to do something, like Yetzer, I have a drive that inclines me to do something, but is it mamish something that's real, that's physically out there?
Well, the Svarim speak about the fact that that the Yetzer Tov is an innate part of the human being, it's part of his neshama. And the Yetzer Hara is an external phenomenon. Whether it's tangible or not, it does say that the Rebbeinu Shlom will shecht the Malach HaMavis, right? Where do we say that? Excellent. That's it. V'shachat the Malach HaMavis. Hashem will shecht the Malach HaMavis. He'll slaughter the Malach HaMavis. So how tangible this is, it doesn't seem to me that it's a very... Let me throw out two things, not on the script. Number one, a Talmud of mine once asked me, he said, why is it that in Chazal, almost always, when you refer to the Yetzer Tov, it's referred to as Yetzer Tov? But when it refers to the Yetzer Hara, it refers to the Yetzer Hara. With a hey, how you do? Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. It's almost always, you make a search, it's almost always, very, very few times, there may be a couple exceptions, but 99% of the time, it's Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Why is it not uniform? Just a thought. I have some thoughts, but not for now. What I wanted to tell you is you were talking about the Yetzer Hara being, an internal threat, and that's true, but it could manifest itself on the external. You know, there's I shouldn't really be talking in front of medical doctors, but there is a book about from a doctor named Dr. Sarno, and he has this theory that often physical ailments, not always, but often physical ailments are just a manifestation of a person's emotional disappointment or or similar feelings.
Absolutely.
Okay. So again, I'm ignorant in these matters, but what I did see was a fascinating thing. Basically, his theory is that somebody might have insulted you one time, or somebody might have, and your body, as a defense mechanism, in order to deal with that, it channels it into the form of a physical ailment. And the truth is, the physical ailment, you're truly feeling it, and it's really aching, or it's really swelling, or it's really, you could probably even document it, but it's all stemming from an emotional disappointment or whatnot. The fascinating thing is, I there was a fellow who was suffering from, he wrote it about back pain, this book, but there was a fellow who was suffering from mono for like about a year. When I met him, he could barely pick up his newborn child, barely. He started to learn this method from somebody who was well-versed in it. Within 2 weeks, he was back in yeshiva, full schedule. And I've heard this from several people. It doesn't work for everybody, obviously. If it's a real problem, you know, or not an emotional problem, it's a different story. But the fascinating thing, what I'm trying to bring out here, is this fellow told me that part of the method is to confirm for oneself, to proclaim, no, there's nothing wrong with me, just because somebody might have insulted me or whatever, I'm totally fine, and so on. And you focus on that. And he said what happened was, expectedly, according to this doctor, he said suddenly his mono began to disappear. He regained his strength. But suddenly his knees started to hurt. He would get throbbing pain in his knee. And then he would use the same method again and focus in that way. And then suddenly, you know, he had some back pain. And the next day he had this and that, and it would get weaker and weaker and weaker in the different places. And then eventually it disappeared entirely. He was totally convinced. I didn't have this experience myself, but I recommended it to several people, and they all told me that for their particular ailment, obviously it's not going to work for everything. A person's deathly ill, you know, it doesn't make sense that should work. Maybe I'm wrong, I'm not a doctor, but the idea is that something spiritual, something emotional, could have an effect on, certainly has an effect on your physical well-being. That's no question. And just interesting, we know that the Yetzer Hara, he causes us to be sluggish. He pulls us down. Is that correct? He makes us lazy. In fact, Chaim Vital says that a person is composed of four elements. Each element contributes to different midos. Like the element of fire, obviously, will contribute to a person's excitement, a person's energy. The element of earth, of dust, it draws a person down. The force of gravity, the force of sluggishness, of laziness, and even emotional depression. Very interesting. But in any case, that the Yetzer Hara to make a person sluggish is a very, very... He's not attacking people with rational ideas. He's attacking you with brute force. Here's one tactic that he uses all the time. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. We're coming up to Shavuos, and on Shavuos we read Sefer Megillas Rus. So in Megillas Rus, many discussions about this, but Nami tries to persuade Rus and Arpa to go back home. And at a certain point, she stopped. Whole discussion in the Svarim as to why she was allowed to do that in the first place, if in fact it's true according to some Chazal, some opinions of Chazal that they already converted, how was she able to dissuade them from coming with her? Okay, not for now. I gave a shiur 1 year about this in Rus. Anyway, but she was dissuading them from coming, and at a certain point she stopped dissuading them. At least she stopped dissuading Rus. You know what it says in the Pasuk? She saw that it became difficult for her to go. She became sluggish. Rus became sluggish. Says the Vilna Gaon, you know, until now there could have been ulterior motives. It's hard to understand what kind of ulterior motives there might have been. Maybe she felt pity for Nami. Maybe she thought that she would have some degree of, redemption amongst the Jewish people. I mean, but more than likely her future looked very bleak because she was a Moavia, and most of Klal Yisrael at that time, it would seem from the Gemaras and others, it would seem that they were under the impression that you weren't even allowed to marry her, so she didn't even have a future in marrying into the Jewish people, according to the opinion of most people, or presumably most people in those days. And yet she stuck with it, and that's one of the reasons why she was rewarded, obviously, with becoming the matriarch of the Davidic dynasty. But the Yetzirah didn't need to become active initially, because she was doing it for the wrong, she may have been doing it for the wrong motives. Or there were motives there, not wrong, but certainly not the pure motives. Could have been ulterior motives. As soon as, says the Vilna Gaon, Naomi saw that it became difficult for her to continue, she said, now I know that what's happening here is a great thing, is a mitzvah, and it's of pure intention. Because if it wasn't a pure intention, if there were ulterior motives, Yetzirah would have had no problem allowing that to happen and not cause any friction, any tension whatsoever. As soon as you see him engaged, and as soon as you see him flexing his muscle, trying to prevent a person and trying to drag a person down, you know that it's a worthwhile enterprise. But she saw that Rus was dragging her feet. It was difficult for her to go. She said, Then she stopped talking to her. She knew now that this is legit and that this is something that it could lead to great things, as we see that it did. In any case, just another illustration of the Yetzirah manifesting himself in a physical sort of way. The next quote I have here, halfway down the page, is from the Rambam. We mentioned that the Yetzirah, again, the theme of this little piece here is that the Yetzirah is there to twist arms. He's there to drag people down. He's not there to convince you out of it with rational arguments. Here we have an unbelievable thing. The Yetzirah waits. We said earlier, he waits. La Pesach Chatas Reves. He's crouching right by the door like the salesman waiting to get his foot in the door. Look what the Rambam says. This is a scary and fascinating Rambam. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia, Forbidden Relations, he says like this, G'dayla mikol zayis amru, greater than everything else, Chazal have said, Yifnatz mayomach shavta l'divrei Torah, prevention, remember we talked about that, prevention, don't go there in the first place, yes? We talked about that many times, the idea of prevention, that we had spoken about this way back, that was one of the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was that a Jewish person, when he wants to keep the Torah, he has to keep it in such a way, not just, okay, reluctantly I'll keep it, but rather he has to take precautionary measures far in advance. So here he says that a person should involve himself in Divrei Torah. V'yarchiv da'ite b'chachmeh, he should widen his mind with wisdom. Chachmas ha'Torah. Why? Listen to this. These are scary words. She'ein machsheves arayis, for thoughts, improper thoughts of improper activity, of immoral activity, are only there. Look at the word that the Rambam uses, misgaberes. Gvura. It overpowers a person. These thoughts only overpower a person. Ela belev panui min hachachma. It only overpowers a person in a heart that is devoid of wisdom. And he quotes a pasuk. Fine. There's many things to learn from this Rambam. But number one, you see that the Yetzirah is here. You could overcome him. You could easily overcome. Just don't let him in the first place. If you take the proper measures in advance, right? Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavon. I created the Yetzirah and I created the Torah as an antidote to the Yetzirah. We have ways of dealing with it, right? Don't allow the disease to begin growing in the first place. Once it's fully blown, now it's much, much more difficult to deal with. Yes?
I'm doing the real Chaim with Rav Shlomo Kamenetsky Thursday nights, and the very beginning of it, it says the Yetzirah is trying his best to get you down, but he really wants to be defeated in the end.
Because even he is a messenger of Hashem, absolutely. However, you have to be careful not to view, to know that, but not to view him that way. When you're in the midst of a struggle with him, because just like a wrestler, even though he's wrestling his coach, he has to exert all his effort and he has to focus on the coach as if the coach is the biggest enemy. Yes. Okay. But the idea here is that, first of all, you see, he uses the Lashon Mizgaberes, which means he overpowers. The Yetzer Hara just simply overpowers a person. But that you see, if a person is constantly inundated with these thoughts, so he could say, look, it's impossible for me to overcome them. And the truth is, at a certain point, he's far stronger than you. Where was your point of Bechira? Where was your point of free will? Maybe not now. Maybe it's too late now. You know where your point of Bechira was? Not letting him in the first place. Involve yourself. Keep busy. Learn Torah. Fill your days with good deeds and with chachma, and you're preoccupied. Now you'll keep out of trouble.
But apparently, Rambam Lashon seems that the Yetzer looks for a vacuum, and this vacuum is void of Torah.
Yes. Yes. So you know what? The Mashgiach of Lakewood, Reb Matzio Solomon, he should be well. Shabbat Refuah Shleima. He always says, he quotes this Rambam, and he mentions, he says, the truth is, the perspective a person has to have is, that if he has improper thoughts, he shouldn't view it as something to become depressed about. What he should say is, this is a beautiful message from Hashem. What is Hashem telling a person? If he has an improper thought, instead of saying, I'm such an idiot, I'm such a lowlife, he should say, this is a message from Hashem that my mind is not full, that I'm not using my mind to its fullest capacity. Let me get busy. Let me involve myself in Torah pursuits, and then I'll be. So it's not there, as Drew mentioned from the Nefesh HaChaim. It's not there to trip you up. It's not there to. Hashem doesn't want you to fail. This is a message. You can look at it in two ways. You know, oh, I failed so many times, or rather, this is a message from Hashem that I should refocus. So that's another illustration of the Yetzer Hara and part of his tactics, and the fact that it's only he's a bully. Now we have a medrash here. The medrash says like this. Another example of the fact that the Yetzer Hara looks for people who are already in decline. Amar Abami, Ein Yetzer Hara Mahalach Litzdadim. Yetzer Hara doesn't figuratively go on the side of the road. Ela Be'emtza Platya, goes in the middle of the plaza. He goes in the middle of the road. Adam, and when he sees a person, Mimashmesh Be'enov, Misakin Bisa'arai, he's looking around and he's combing his hair, fixing his hair, and he's beautifying himself. Mitlob Akeva, he's like swinging his heel as if he's carefree. So a person like that is not focused, he's not driven towards a particular pursuit, and he's a person that's leaving himself susceptible and open to the Yetzer Hara. So that's when the Yetzer Hara says, "Uaimer hadein didi," horrible words. This guy's mine. He's mine. What's the pshat? The pshat is he doesn't go over to a guy who's intensely involved in learning and busy his whole day. And no, he gets the guys who are the low-hanging fruit. Who are the low-hanging fruit? The people who are empty, who are wasting their time.
These are all activities of gaiva. Person is overly obsessed with his physical.
Yes. Yes, yes. We're going to talk about that later. Another one of the reasons why, for chametz, one of the other explanations for chametz is not just the Yetzer Hara, but a particular type of Yetzer Hara, which is gaiva, which is haughtiness, arrogance. We'll get to that soon. Okay? Now here another medrash that I pointed out, very very similar vein. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak betchila hu nasa ereach. It's actually the same medrash, is a little further down. Initially the Yetzer Hara becomes like a guest. Va'achakach hu nasa balabayas, and then he becomes the balabos.
Wow.
You imagine we'll take a very easy analogy. Today we know a person is sitting with his computer, and he doesn't have the proper filters, and he doesn't have the proper precautions. There's many different things that a person could use in order to, some people have tricks like they'll have a filter on the computer or a password on the computer to get to the internet, and the password is only known by their spouse, right? So they can't use it for improper things when no one's around. Or, I mean, every person has to know their situation, have to be honest with themselves, right? Others have filters that really work to avoid, you know, improper things popping up. And it's not just, you know, certain websites, it's also certain sub-websites and certain ads that come up and so on. These are all things that eventually, right now, he's visiting. You know, he's on the side, a little, you know, a little box on the side, you know, pop up. Oh, I'm not looking at that. You quickly scroll down, you know. But soon, very soon, right now he's a guest. Very soon he will overpower you. He'll become the Balabas. He becomes the Balabas. It's quite frightening. Quite frightening. This b'tchila hu nasa ireach. Initially he's a guest, and eventually becomes a Balabas. And the trick is obviously to thwart that from the beginning. Now the next quote I have here is a very important quote, often overlooked, I believe. And that is, people don't realize that we talk about redemption in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We see here that the whole idea of chametz, one of the main ideas of chametz and purging our homes from chametz and not consuming chametz, is because chametz is analogous to the Yetzer Hara. Yes? So in a sense, we're not just having a physical freedom. We're also having a spiritual redemption. That we understand because we were on the 49th level of Tumah, etc. But we often overlook that dimension. Oh, we were slaves and they were persecuting us and so on. But the fact is that our spiritual redemption is even more important, as it always is. And that transpired over the course of the redemption from Mitzrayim. We have to keep that in mind. And when we say the bracha, this is very, very important. This is the part that I think is overlooked. We say Asher Galanu v'Golas Aveisenu Mitzrayim. We say the bracha on the Haggadah. Some people say that this is the actual bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in any case, the bracha is He redeemed us. He's redeeming us, and He redeemed our forefathers in Mitzrayim. V'Higyonu Alayla Azeh Alechol Boi Matzah Mor. He brought us to this day to eat Matzah Mor. Kein Hashem Aleikenu Yagienu L'Moyadim L'Regalim Acherim. So too he should bring us to future festivals where we'll be able to rejoice b'vinyan irecha, with the rebuilding of your city, v'sasim b'vaydasecha, and joyous in your service. And then it says v'noyde lecha shir chadash, and we shall, there's many different explanations to these words, but v'noyde lecha shir chadash al geulasenu v'al pedus nafshenu. We shall sing, we shall praise, and we shall thank the Rebbeinu Shalom with a new song, al geulasenu, on our redemption, v'al pedus nafshenu, and on the redemption of our souls. See very clearly, there's a great emphasis here in the bracha itself, on this beautiful, beautiful bracha, which should be said with tremendous kavana, as is brought down in halacha. You know, Reb Neil, there's a whole discussion about this line, what this means. V'noyde lecha shir chadash. There's a Taisvis in Psachim about it. It seems to be talking about the future Geula, yeah?
Yeah.
But earlier in the paragraph it says, V'noymar lefanav shira chadasha. V'nayil chashir chadash would be good. But earlier it says, V'naymar lefonav shira chadasha. V'naymar is like, we will say, right, in the future. The problem is he uses the Lashon shira chadasha, just very, very quickly, somewhat tangential here. Shira chadasha, Taisa says in Psachim, shira chadasha is feminine, right? And shir chadash is masculine. Why in one place is it used masculine, one feminine? Says Taisvis, because feminine is symbolic of a redemption. It's a song to be sung for a redemption that is not complete, that there remains some pain and difficulty beyond the redemption itself. It's not a complete redemption. So we would say a shira chadasha, figuratively a song in the form of as a woman would sing, meaning the example is, when a woman has a baby, she has a redemption, she has a great simcha, she has, but it comes with pain, yes? So, and we compared to Yetzias Mitzrayim very often. We mentioned that it's like giving birth, right? So, if we were talking about a present day song, it would be a Shira Chadasha. But the song Asid Lava, he says, Taisis, is Shir Chadash. So, what does it mean? V'naymar, the word that's the contradiction there. V'naymar means in the future. V'naymar, we will say Shira Chadasha, a song as a woman would sing. But in the future, it will be a complete redemption. So therefore, Taisus changes the gear. So he says, "Say v'nemar," that we sang then, or right. So there's also a discussion about these words. Many other opinions about it. But the main thing I'm trying to point out here is that we're thanking Hashem for the pidus nafshenu on the redemption of our souls. Okay. And that's what happened in Pesach time, and that's what eventually will happen in the times of Mashiach. We know that famous Michtam Elio, the Michtam Elio says the word Mitzrayim is Miloshen Meitzar, you know, constricting. That's the prevented us from pursuing our spiritual pursuits by way of making it very uncomfortable for us, in the same way the Yetzirah works. They forced us to work without rest. We had no time to even think about our spiritual well-being. And here's a Michtam Elio that says like this, Hine ein adam nikra ben chayrin, a person cannot be considered a free man, achet disbatal imenu avdus l'gamri, until his servitude is removed completely. Beli kol shiur, without any remnants. Meaning, if a person is still partially owned by someone or partially beholden to somebody, he's not completely free. Like a person on probation, right? I'm not so familiar with probation, but they require the person to check in every once in a while or to... Yes? Is that what they do? Okay. So that's a person that's not entirely free. He says, Remez lo zemi iser chametz shehu b'chinas yetzahara. There's a remez to this in that the chametz is representative of the yetzahara. V'hu aser b'mashahu. And it is forbidden b'mashahu. That means to say like this, again with the same theme, that chametz is analogous to the yetzahara. The only way a person could have a true redemption and a true freedom, how do you become ben chayrin? You're becoming ben chayrin, pedus nafshenu, you're becoming ben chayrin from the Yetzirah. The only way to do that is for a person to be entirely free. Even if there's some remnant, some little string attached, he won't consider himself completely free. In that same way with the Yetzirah, in order for a person to be totally free, it's only which way? You remove it even to the last crumb. And that's why chametz, of all other prohibitions in the Torah to eat certain things, chametz is aser b'mashu. It's an unusual thing. It's not forbidden min ha-Torah with a kezias. Even a little tiny crumb is forbidden. Chametz is aser. Why? Because if chametz, in fact, is analogous to the Yetzirah, you can't be free from the Yetzirah unless he's totally removed from you. So for 7 days, we engage in the pursuit, in the lofty pursuit of not eating any chametz at all. Now, Drew mentioned, and this will come up in the future, that it's not ideal for us as human beings to live in our whole lives just eating matzah. Yeah. That's why they make matzah out of chametz, right? On the box of matzah says chametz. But the idea is... that we live in this world, Hashem put us in this world in such a way where we're physical beings as well, right? We're a merge of the physical and the spiritual. So it's not ideal for us to be living our lives entirely removed from chametz at all. That would be too difficult, right? But symbolically, we know that a person cannot go without food. Chazal tell us, for 7 days. A person lives 7 days without food, so the Rebbe Shem gave us 7 days a year that we could sort of live during that period of time symbolically, not having the physical, not having the food, still remain alive, but that lesson will remain with us that this is what we really want to be. Just like on Yom Kippur, we're not like that a whole year, but we have one day where we try to be the best we can like Malachim, and that is the lesson for the rest of the year. So the same way, we have 7 days of Pesach where we refrain from eating the matzah, from eating chametz, which is symbolic of physical food, and we're showing that this is the way we really want to be, up to the limit of 7 days, because beyond that, it's impossible for a person to go without food. Then we go back to living life like we do during the rest of the year, but at least we have the lesson and the elevation from the Yom Tov of Pesach of refraining from chametz. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and Bez Hashem, we'll see you next week.